نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا قيل لهم لا تفسدوا في الأرض قالوا إنما نحن مصلحون ألا إنهم هم المفسدون ولكن لا يشعرون.
We begin with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the King of all kings, the Master of all masters. And we send salat and salam, salutations upon Imam al-Anbiya, Sayyidul Rusul, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Continuing with the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly mentions that the Qur'an is a book of guidance for those who have taqwa, for the muttaqeen. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions certain sifat and qualities of these muttaqeen. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made mention of those who were the opposite of the muttaqeen, those who were deprived of not only taqwa but of iman, the people of kufr and what was their state. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of a third group, hypocrites, the munafiqeen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the munafiqeen, those who outwardly would show that they were people of iman, but in reality they hid kufr and disbelief in their hearts. So continuing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the condition of these munafiqeen. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, that when it is said to them that don't cause corruption in the earth, قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْلِحُونَ, they say that we are the ones who are the rectifiers. We are not causing corruption. We are actually doing something good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا, listen very carefully, إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ, in reality they are the ones who are causing corruption. They are the ones causing fasad. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, but they not even realize. So firstly, with regards to a munafiq, the scholars, they have debated that whether hypocrites remain anymore or not. But in order to recognize a munafiq, a hypocrite, that someone who outwardly claims he has iman, but inwardly he hides kufr. So there are two ways of recognizing such a person. Number one is through revelation, through wahy. And this was khas, this was specific to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was sahib al-wahy. He received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would be told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that such a person, he is a munafiq. He has no iman in reality. And the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he even gave a list to Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala an, sahib al-sir, that these are the munafiqeen. So in order to not cause any fitna within the people, Rasulullah did not disclose to everyone that such a person is a munafiq, such a person is a munafiq. He told certain people that I have been told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah was given that ilm al-ghayb, that knowledge that this person doesn't really have iman. So obviously this is specific to Rasulullah. After Rasulullah, there is no wahi which is going to come on me and you so that we can judge someone and say that he's a munafiq. So the second way to recognize a munafiq is that if he has such an aqidah, such a belief, he expresses such a belief, or he does such an action which is an act of kufr. His belief is of kufr, or his action is of kufr, but yet he still claims to have iman, and he still claims to be a Muslim, then such a person can be called a munafiq. Other titles have been given to such a person, for example, a zindiq, or someone who is corrupting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is the way of recognizing a munafiq in this day and age. Obviously we can't see what is in a person's heart, but if so, we are obliged to follow what is zahir, what a person shows in apparent. So if a person expresses a belief which is contrary to iman, which is contrary to Islam, a person does an action which is an outward action of kufr, for example, he does sajda to an idol, or he wears a cross, or something like this, then we would call such a person a munafiq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that when it is said to them, لا تفسدوا في الأرض, so the munafiqeen, the hypocrites in time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they did many things wrong they would try to cause harm to Rasulullah and the believers in many different ways. And when it was said to them that la tufsidu fil ard, that don't cause fasad and corruption in the earth, so they would say that we're not the one causing corruption, we're the one who are rectifying, we're doing something good. So commentators, they mention that we mentioned before, that fi qulubihim maradun, that they had an illness in their heart. Nifaq is an illness of the heart. And their hearts became blind. And they had so many veils on their heart that they couldn't even see what is the truth. So the commentators mentioned that they had such blindness in their heart. Their hearts had become so corrupt that that which was ifsad, that which was corruption, they regarded that to be islah and rectifying. And sometimes a person reaches such a level of corruption of the heart that he actually thinks that he is rectifying. But in reality, he's not doing something good, he's actually doing something bad as well. In this day and age as well, we will see certain countries, certain presidents, prime ministers, they say that, you know, we're doing this for the peace of the world. And in reality, they're not causing peace. They are killing innocent lives, they are causing trouble to millions of people, and all in the name of, you know, peace. So this is one is that they actually know that they're causing corruption, and another is that they're actually sincere in this thing, or they actually think to themselves that this is the way of rectifying, whereas this only leads to corruption and more evil. So what we learn is that any attempt to rectify something, whether it's one's own self, whether it's society on a communal level, international level, any islah, any rectification which is done not in the line of sharia, this is actually ifsad. So a person thinks that following something which is not in line with the teachings of sharia, this is going to give a good result, this is a deception from shaitan. And this will only lead to fasad. So whether it's with regards to a person's own self as well, doing your own islah, rectifying yourself. If you're thinking of deen, if your a'mal are not in line with the sharia, you're not going to rectify yourself, you're going to corrupt yourself. On a communal level, international level, if you don't follow the teachings of the sharia, whatever you're doing will not lead to islah, it'll lead to ifsad and more corruption. So now, just an example. So sometimes shaitan, he puts bright ideas in a person's mind, in a person's heart. And many trials and tribulations happen, and people, they get derailed, and they become gumrah, and they lose the straight path in many different ways. One of the deceptions of shaitan is that he puts certain bright ideas in a person's mind that, you know, following the sharia, this is not, or, you know, performing salah, but the person attending the masjid, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting the Quran, doing all these hard actions, this is not something necessary. You know, what is necessary, a person's heart has to be pure. I've come across personally as well, certain people say, no, the main thing is the person's heart needs to be pure. As long as you're dealing with people, that's okay. You know, you're not deceiving someone, your heart is clean, you don't have pride in your heart, you know, you're a humble person, then namaz doesn't matter. Whether you perform salah, that's not really that important. Whether you do zikr, whether you read the Quran, that's not really important. What is the main thing is that your heart should be pure. Yeah? So this is a deception from a shaitan. And a person thinks to himself that, you know, I can become a true Muslim. I can become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner, that I just focus on my heart and I don't need to focus on the other ibadat and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then person will not be rectified, his nafs will grow stronger and stronger and stronger, person's iman will become weaker and weaker, and his heart will become more and more corrupted. Famous verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards to the purpose of creation of mankind. Anyone know the verse? I have not created man nor jinn except, mashallah, so except so that they worship me. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, so that they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the commentators, they mention on this that لِيَعْبُدُونَ means لِيَعْرِفُونَ, so that they recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and we understand our position in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires from us, and what is the true meaning of life. So commentators, they mention that the purpose is recognizing Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention liya'rifun. He mentioned liya'budun, so that they worship me. So Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions from this that this is an indication towards the fact that only that recognition and ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is valid, which is achieved through the path of ibadah. That person who recognizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through ibadah, through worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through following the acts of the sharia, those acts which have been encouraged by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thereafter a person recognizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he understands who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and this is valid. But that person who thinks that he recognizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who thinks he has understood the message of iman, the message of Islam, but he has not tread the path of ibadah, then such a person's ma'rifah and his recognition is completely void, is not accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So similarly as well, on a communal level, international level, that person who tries to cause some sort of good thing. And unfortunately we have this in this day and age as well, certain commandments of the sharia is very clear cut. The intermingling of the opposite gender, this is impermissible. Certain things are impermissible. Now, we see certain things going wrong in the community or with Muslims, and we think to ourselves, if we just do this, hold a conference in such a manner, or if we just, give a bit of leeway over here, then, this will be a means of goodness. This will make people appreciate Islam. This will bring people closer to Islam. We hold marches in which there's intermingling of the opposite gender. We can just overlook it. Open days in the masjid, and, there's no concept of parda, this will bring about goodness. No. Allah innahum mufsidun. Following any path other than the path of sharia, this will never lead to goodness. This will only lead to ifsad and corruption. Similarly, when it comes to even jihad, sharia has placed certain rules that a person, he can't harm women, he can't harm children, a person shouldn't uproot trees, vegetation, things, these should not be harmed. So a person even goes on to the act of jihad and he thinks, I'm giving my life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he does not follow the teaching of the sharia, then such a jihad is void. Such a jihad will not bring about goodness. So the summary is, if a person wants goodness to happen, rectification, personal life, within the community, within the country, within the world, a person must follow the ways of the sharia. Last point, let's finish on that. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, that these people don't even know that they are doing something wrong. And the scholars, they mentioned, a doctor was asked that, what is the greatest illness? What's the greatest illness? No, what do you think? Someone was asked you, what's the greatest illness? What is that one? Cancer or something? Yeah? The doctor, he said, the greatest illness is that illness which the ill person does not regard to be an illness. Because an illness may be small. Yeah, it may be small. But if a person does not even think of it to be an illness, will he go about trying to cure himself? No. Because he doesn't even regard it to be an illness. So when a person doesn't regard an illness to be an illness, then that illness will continue to grow and grow and grow, and ultimately it will mean that person will pass away as well. So physically as well, if a person starts, illness starts small, but he thinks, it's okay. He doesn't pay attention towards it, doesn't go to a doctor. Then it'll get worse and worse and worse, and then sooner or later you'll get to a stage that, there's no point of return now. There's no cure for such a person, it's too late. So similarly, when it comes to the spiritual illnesses as well, if a person is not careful about the illnesses of the heart, or he doesn't even regard it to be an illness, he has pride, he has arrogance, he's got a habit of lying, he's got a habit of cheating, he's a coward. These certain illnesses we mentioned before, that just how it is followed for a person to stay away from the apparent sins, it is also incumbent and followed upon a person to stay away from the batini amrad, the illnesses of the heart as well. But personally, he doesn't think of it to be an illness, he doesn't think of it to be something important, then these illnesses will continue to grow and grow and grow. And then what happens? The person's heart becomes completely black, and a person becomes completely deprived of, the nur of iman as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. So inshallah, we'll just suffice on this. The main lesson that we learned from today is that the munafiqeen, they regarded ifsad and corruption to be a means of rectification. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that no, if a person follows any path apart from the path of the Sharia, this can only lead to corruption and not rectification. And the greatest illness is that illness which a person does not regard to be illness. So anything small, whether physically or spiritually, a person shouldn't regard it to be small. And a person should be in a continuous worry that I need to cure myself. I need to cure myself. And what's the way of curing yourself from a spiritual illness? Who can remember from last week? What's the way of curing yourself? If a person needs to, if you're ill, who do you go to? You go to a doctor. So then you have to go to a sheikh, a spiritual doctor. A spiritual doctor, you present yourself in front of him, and whatever he prescribes, the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it may be nafal ibadah, whether it may be punishing your nafs, you know, a person needs to follow that prescription in order for him to cure himself and rectify himself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to act upon what has been mentioned. Ameen wa akhir da'wana, and alhamdulillah.